Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Let's go to the book of Amos. Amos in Hebrew. Amos. Little book. It's got a lot of really good stuff in it. Right before Obadiah. And I doubt that that helps. Amos chapter 8. It's after Joel, before Obadiah. Amos chapter 8. Verses 5 to 6. Saying, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat? See what the people are crying. When are we going to get out of this special Sabbath day and get back to where we can make money? Making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. Where's the people's heart there? Is it for God? Is it toward his commandments? No. It's toward the pocketbook. Money's not the root of all evil. What's the scripture say? The love of money is the root of all evil. Now let's go to the New Testament. We know Matthew 4:4 says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I'm going to skip that one and go to Matthew 12. I promise this is the short version. Okay. Matthew 12, verse 8. What did we read over and over again in the scriptures that we've read so far? Whose day is the Sabbath? It is the Lord's. Verse 8 says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. That is, it's his day. Belongs to him. He set it apart. He sanctified it. He knows what's permitted and not permitted. So why do the scribes and Pharisees keep telling him he's doing it wrong? Because he's not following their man-made rules and regulations. And they can't stand the fact that he wants to follow God and not them. Verse 12 of the same chapter. Matthew 12:12, not Matthew 24. Or of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. The scribes and Pharisees were saying, hey, if the man's bleeding to death on the Sabbath, let him bleed. Messiah said, no, you don't do that. It's right to do good on the Sabbath. Should the hospital shut down on the Sabbath and say, if you're having a heart attack, come back and see me Monday? No. It's lawful to do good on the Sabbath.
But not necessarily elective surgeries and stuff.
Not necessarily elective things, no. Matthew chapter 24, verse 20. In Matthew chapter 24, Messiah himself in his own words, written and read in my Bible, is talking about the future, even to our day now is the future, is talking about the tribulation period in the day of the Lord. Hasn't happened yet. It says, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. If the Sabbath was going to be abolished at his death, burial, and resurrection, he wouldn't prophesy that something is going to happen on the Sabbath in the future. It wouldn't even have been relevant. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, have you found it? Verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, and there should be an S on it, it's Sabbath plural, because there was the high Sabbath of unleavened bread followed by the weekly Sabbath, Friday night to Saturday night. As the first day of the week, just scratch out day, it's the first of the week, began to dawn.
What verse is this one?
Matthew 28, verse 1.
Oh, verse 1.
Yeah, if you look at the Greek, it should say now after the Sabbath plural. As the first of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. The Lord's not there. The Lord has arisen after the end of Shabbat on the first day of the week. Why didn't he arise on Shabbat? What did he do on Shabbat?
Rested.
He rested. Even in death, he rested on Shabbat. And then I'm going to mute everybody on the web because we're getting noise through. Okay, and then at the end of Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Messiah has died, been buried, has risen, and is commanding the disciples what they should do next. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Yeshua came and spoke to them, that is the disciples, the apostles, saying, meaning these are his very words, this is a quote, the original to Matthew is Hebrew, all the early church fathers tell us that. Says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Disciples are students of all the nations. That means Gentiles. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What portion of the things? Is it 9 out of 10 good? No, he says all that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. What was the Lord's custom? Let's look at Luke chapter 4. What example did he set for us? Luke 4, verse 16. I know I haven't gotten to the point yet, but I need a good build-up. Luke 4:16. So he came to Nazareth. Who came? That's Messiah Yeshua. Where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. What was his custom? To keep the Sabbath. In the same chapter, Luke chapter 4, let's go to verse 31. Then he, that is Messiah, went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on what? The Sabbath. So in Capernaum, he kept the Sabbath. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 6. Now it also happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. What did he do? He kept the Sabbath. Luke chapter 13. I just want you to see in Luke 4, it says this was his custom. It really was. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. We're at a different place at a different time. Luke 13, verse 10 says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Still keeping the Sabbath. Luke chapter 23. What do you think he was doing that day? Keeping the Sabbath. Let's find out. He's in the grave. He's been crucified. Luke 23:56. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. It's talking about the women. Messiah's been laid in the tomb, and they don't get all the preparations done. But instead of saying, hey, we're going to stay here on the Sabbath and prepare our ointments and stuff and anoint the body, They go back and they rest on the Sabbath, and that's why they come back after the Sabbath to anoint the body, and he's arisen.
Now, there's something there I've never really caught before.
What's that?
According to the commandment.
According to the commandment. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not according to the commandment that was nailed to the cross, but...
Right.
Because he's already dead.
Right. And these are the believers, those that were so close to him, those that knew he's Lord and Savior. They rest on the Sabbath,
you know, they,
according to the
if
commandment.
The knowledge of the people, they would be like, well, he's dead, it's nailed to the cross. We don't have to keep Sabbath anymore.
Right. But from the very first moment, that was never the thought. No. Never the thought.
That's actually a pretty clever mistranslation, because they said that they rested on the Sabbath instead of the Sabbath, Sabbaton.
Yeah.
Plural. So the modern church gets all confused about it. Being raised on Sunday, 3 days of the church.
Yeah, we're going to get to that one too.
Okay.
I heard somebody on the web.
That was the same question.
Okay, same question. Very good. All good questions. Let's go to the book of Acts. Messiah is resurrected. He's ascended. How did the very first apostles react to the Sabbath? Has it been abolished, nailed to the cross, removed, or do they continue to observe it? Let's look. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Messiah just descended. They're standing on the Mount of Olives, watching him go up to heaven. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, that's the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem. Back in those days, it was not part of Jerusalem. It was across the Kidron Valley. It says, a Sabbath day's journey. They don't say, who cares what a Sabbath day's journey is? That's how they still measure distances. It's a Sabbath day's journey. That's as far as they were permitted to walk on the Sabbath day.
Was that not a man-made tradition?
Apparently not. It's an interpretation. So, it's a point well taken. Would I tell everybody that you cannot walk more than this many steps? No, I would not. But it's just, this is their mindset, to think of everything in terms of the Sabbath. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 14. This is talking about the Apostle Paul. He just got saved in chapter 9. We're a couple chapters later, verse 14 of Acts chapter 13. It says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and sat down. What day was the Apostle Paul keeping as his Sabbath? The Sabbath day. Yes. Yep. In most Christian churches, you stand up to teach. The ancient tradition and biblical is you sit down to teach. Staying in Acts chapter 13, look at verses 42 to 44. Because it tells us who cares about the Sabbath. Acts chapter 13, 42 to 44. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Who wants to be preached to the next Sabbath? The Gentiles. Verse 43, now in the congregation, that's the same word synagogue, don't let that fool you. The same word in Greek as the verse before. Had broken up many of the Jews and devout proselytes. Proselytes are Gentiles, not Jews. Followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. So who gathered on the next Sabbath? Everybody, Jews and Gentiles alike, to hear the word of God on the Sabbath. Because what was Paul's custom? Let's go to Acts 15, verse 21. the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 lets the Gentile world know where they can learn the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. Verse 21 says, "For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath." So if the Gentiles want to learn what the scriptures command, where can they go to learn? To the synagogue on the Sabbath. Acts chapter 16. We're almost there. Acts chapter 16, verse 13. The Apostle Paul's in a city that doesn't have a synagogue. There isn't one. So what do the people do? Acts chapter 16, verse 13. "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there." So they don't have a synagogue, so they gather on the Sabbath in a quiet place by the river and have a time of prayer and teaching. So even if there's not a building they can go to, the people were still keeping the Sabbath. In Acts chapter 17, it tells us specifically what the Apostle Paul's custom was. We can probably guess by what we've read so far in the book of Acts, but in verse 2 of Acts 17, it says, "Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures." What was his custom? To keep the Sabbath. Acts chapter 18. Verse 4. "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks." That is, Jews and Gentiles. Where was he reasoning with the Jews and Gentiles? In the synagogue on the Sabbath. Is there any indication here that, well, let's meet with the Jews on the Sabbath and then we'll meet with the Gentiles on Sunday? None. None whatsoever. Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So before Thessalonians. Colossians 2, 16 and 17 reads, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Messiah." So what is the Sabbath? A shadow of things to come. This is after the death, burial, and resurrection, so it's not talking about the first coming, it's talking about the second coming. What is the Sabbath prophesying? The coming of the millennial kingdom, Messiah's second coming. And the substance is of whom? Messiah. So, with that in mind, what does the Bible say? Remember what? The Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, I'm going to read to you the decree of the Roman Catholic Church.
Wayne?
Yeah?
Yes. So I know you're getting ready to talk about the Roman Catholic Church, and I think that's where I'm stumbling a bit, having a Roman Catholic background. But throughout all of the verses that you have gone through in the last 10 minutes or so, it is saying that he keeps the Sabbath, or whether that be Yeshua or Paul, keeps the Sabbath by going to the synagogue or a reasonable facsimile thereof. So are we to interpret keeping the Sabbath is the equivalent of going to, like, you must go to the synagogue on the Sabbath in order to keep the Sabbath holy?
I would not go that far, no. I would just say that was the custom that developed.
Okay.
Yeah, the other 6 days people worked. What day did they have to study the scriptures and learn? The Sabbath. Okay. Here's where the change comes in. In the middle of the 4th century, around the year 364, 365, give or take, at the Council of Laodicea, the same name as the church that's lukewarm in Revelation chapter 3, in Canon 29, here was the decree of the Pope. Christians must not Judaize by resting on the Sabbath, but must work on that day. Rather, honoring the Lord's Day, by that they mean Sunday. This is where they call Sunday the Lord's Day, first time I've ever found it recorded. And if they can, resting then as Christians, I mean, you don't have to rest on Sunday, but you can't rest on Shabbat. It says, but if any shall be found to be Judaizers, meaning resting on the Sabbath, let them be anathema from Christ, meaning let them go straight to the lake of fire that cannot be saved. So the scriptures said in Deuteronomy 12, do not add to nor take away from. What did the church here do? They took away in a big way. If you read the Catholic Catechism, even of today, it's out there on the web. It says, what day is the Sabbath day? And what answer does it give? The Sabbath day is Saturday. And it then goes on, then why do we worship on Sunday? And the answer that's historically been given by the Catholic Church is, you worship on Sunday to show that the Pope has the power of God on earth, and that you're to worship and obey the Pope, not God in the Scriptures. How does that square with Mark chapter 7, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men? Let's take another one where I can show you where it happened and how and why it happened. This one is not so long. Passover. Rather than going through all the scriptures, I think you realize that in Leviticus chapter 23 and other places, we are commanded to observe the Passover. And the church's teaching is that we are not to keep the Passover, but to observe Easter. Even though sometimes Easter and Passover are a month apart. Why are they sometimes a month apart? Easter is tied to the sun god worship, not to biblical worship, not to the biblical calendar. And I have here a red book called Ecclesiastical History by Eusebius Pamphilus. And in the back, it includes the letter from Constantine that makes the change. And he explains in here why he's making the change. And it's not that he says, you know what, we were reading in the New Testament and it says don't do that anymore. That's not it at all. On page 52 of the appendix in the letter from Constantine, which begins Constantine August to the churches, he says, and truly in the first place, it seemed to everyone a most unworthy thing that we should follow the custom of the Jews in the celebration of this most holy solemnity, who polluted wretches, having stained their hands with a nefarious crime, are justly blinded in their minds. And then a sentence later, let us then have nothing in common with the most hostile rabble of the Jews. Then on the next page it says, as it is necessary that this vault should be so amended that we may have nothing in common with the usage of these parricides and murderers of our Lord, and as that order is most convenient, which is observed by all the churches of the West, meaning Rome, as well as those of the southern and northern parts of the world, and also by some in the East, meaning back in Israel in that area, they wouldn't give up the Sabbath. He says, it was judged therefore to be most equitable and proper, and I pledged myself that this arrangement should meet with your approbation. In other words, you're going to make the change or what? He says, or you die. I will kill you.
Was that written about the same time as the first Council of Laodicea.
Yeah, this is from the Council of Nicaea, which is also in the 4th century. Yeah. But that's where he explains his reasoning. Not that we've read the New Testament, we shouldn't be keeping Passover. Because if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells the believers in Corinth who come out of the Gentile world to keep Passover. He doesn't say we shouldn't do that because of what we read in the Bible. It's we're going to do nothing the way the Jews do it. So if the Jews are doing what God commanded in the scripture, and we're not going to do anything the way the Jews do it, then what are they going to do? They're going to adapt pagan sun god worship and make it the standard of the church, and that's what they did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Messiah, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." The word Passover means the Passover lamb. "Therefore let us keep the feast." What feast? Passover. "Not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So what did they do with the commandment to observe Passover? Was that a temporary commandment that God issued? Let's go look. Go back to Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying," again, God breathed, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast," that's actually the appointed times of the Lord, "which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts," or appointed times. Verse 3, "6 days shall work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath, the solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It's the Sabbath of the Lord on your dwellings. These are the feasts, the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times." Verse 5, "On the 14th day of the first month at twilight," that's at 3 p.m., is the Lord's Passover. And in verse 14, the last sentence says, or the last clause after the semicolon, "It should be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings." Verse 21, last sentence, "It should be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations." Verse 31, after the first semicolon, "It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." Verse 41, second sentence, "It shall be a statute forever in your generations." These appointed times of the Lord, he says, four times are to be forever. Not once, not twice, four times, he says, is to be forever. And what did the Pope say? Nah, let's do Easter instead. Does that add to or take away from the commandments of God? It does both. It takes away the Passover and substitutes a pagan festival of the worship of Ishtar, otherwise known as Easter, where they did things like they painted eggs, etc., etc. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.